Turn back to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Last time we were together in Jonah, we considered chapter 1 verse 17 and chapter 2 verse 10. The Lord delivering Jonah by way of the great fish and then delivering him to dry land. And this morning we're circling back to chapter 2 to consider Jonah's prayer in verses 2 through 9. There is an outline in the bulletin if you find that helpful. We're going to look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Please hear now the living, active Word of God. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, salvation does belong to you. And I ask that you would help us to see that more clearly together this morning from your word. Lord God, as we've just sung, you are our only rock. Our hope is in you. You are our help. And so we ask that you would speak to us from your word and give us ears to hear. Give us understanding and faith. And Lord, as you promise, we ask that you would use your word to pour out grace upon your people. We do ask this in faith and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. On the night of April 14, 1912, the world's largest ship carrying over 2,000 passengers struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic and began to sink. This infamous ship, you may know, was the Titanic. Sadly, that day, the Titanic had ignored several warnings about ice. And now it was in desperate need, sinking. And in the hours and minutes that followed, the Titanic sent out numerous distress signals calling for help, even using a new wireless system, sending up flares, signaling with lamps and Morse code, crying out for help. Crying for rescue. But those cries and those calls for help were largely unanswered. The closest ship, the SS Californian, noticed the flares and the lights but failed to respond. A ship further away did hear their calls and made contact with the Titanic, but arrived only in time to save those in lifeboats. The sinking Titanic called for help in a time of great need, but they were unheard. Those calls were unheard and unanswered. And over 1,500 people perished that night in the icy waters. Why do I share this sad story? It's because the fleeing prophet Jonah also made distress calls as he sank into the sea. And yet Jonah cried out not to nearby ships, but to his all-powerful, everywhere present God. And God heard those cries. And God answered those calls. And even from the fish, Jonah prayed and thanked the God who had heard him and saved him. And that prayer, one of the more gripping prayers in Scripture, is recorded for us, and it's our subject this morning. And it raises the question for us, who do you call out to in the time of need? Who will you cry out to? Who do you call out to for rescue and for salvation? When you face disaster, trials, death, the reality of your sin, when you face sorrow, discouragement, whatever it might be, who are you calling out to? And will your calls for help and for rescue be answered? Will there be anyone to hear and save? Will it be too late? Well, Jonah's prayer before us this morning reminds you that there is a God who hears the calls of his needy people. A God who hears desperate people who are sinking, who are weak, who are sinners, no matter how far off they might be, no matter how faint they might be, even from the belly of a fish. There is a God who hears, and there is a God who saves sinners. And that's what we want to see together this morning in God's Word. This passage urges you and urges me to call out to our sovereign God, because he hears and he saves. People of God, pray to the sovereign God who hears and saves. He is the true God. He is powerful. Trust him. Cry out to him. He hears and he saves through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at this together more closely this morning. And Jonah's prayer calls and teaches us first to pray. Like Jonah, pray to God because he hears. Pray to the true God because he hears the cries of his people. Look again with me at verses 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now, up to this point in the book of Jonah, Jonah has been fleeing and running from God, running away from God's presence, but now finally, he's fleeing to the Lord. He's going to the Lord in prayer. Makes me think of a disobedient child running away from its parents, knowing he can't get away, but then he trips and falls and scrapes his knee and turns right around and comes running back into their arms. Jonah has hit rock bottom. He can't run anymore. There's nowhere else to go, and so he prays to the Lord his God from the very belly of the fish. It seems that he prays while he's sinking as well, and then he prays from the fish. And yes, you heard that correctly. Verse 1 makes it clear Jonah is praying from inside the fish. He's alive and he's conscious, and he's calling upon God from inside the fish, and God hears him. God is the true God. And he hears prayer no matter where or when. He hears Jonah while he's imprisoned, if you will, in the belly of the fish. It makes me think of how God has heard countless prayers from his children in lonely, dark places. Prayers from behind closed doors. Prayers from behind prison walls. Prayers in desperate times. He's hearing those kinds of prayers even this morning from brothers and sisters we might not even know. Your God, the true God, hears prayer. And three times in this section, Jonah states that reality in different ways, that God heard his prayer. People of God, God hears prayer, and you need to remember that. Maybe you need to come to know that this morning. You need to believe that. When you pray, when you truly call out to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that prayer is heard by the God of the universe. And that reality can be so easy to forget or to doubt. Or maybe you know that in your head. You've been taught that from a very early age. But when you go to pray, you don't believe deep down inside that he is listening, that the eternal God hears you. Or you give up praying because you think it's not going to make a difference. He doesn't hear, or he's not going to answer. He's not going to answer the way you want him to. Jonah should have prayed long before this. But even at this point, it's not too late. And he is not too distant. He is not too far from the Lord. Even now, God graciously hears him. Do you see in our passage this morning, the Lord hears and rescues those who call out to him, those who cry to him in faith, expressing that they can't save themselves. They need his help. They need his salvation. Friends, call on this God. Pray to the living God who hears. This passage also teaches us to respond with faith. Second, this morning, respond with faith. Now, prayer is itself a response of faith, and one of the most important ways to respond in faith. But I want you to listen specifically to how Jonah processes this. It shows us how we ought to respond to sin and temptation, to trials and suffering, to the Lord's discipline. Look at verse 3. And this is part of his prayer. But Jonah says, "For you," referring to the Lord, "you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me, and your waves and your billows passed over me." Now, it might seem that Jonah in verse 3 is almost blaming or accusing God. "You cast me into the sea. Your waves, your billows." But I think Jonah is actually expressing faith in God's sovereignty, his universal control of all things. Yes, it was the sailors who cast him in. It was his idea. It was his sin that was the root cause of all this. But Jonah is humbly recognizing that God is on the throne. God is in control. This was God's plan. He was pursuing Jonah, punishing him. And Jonah is, yes, recognizing he's responsible, he's guilty, and his God is in control, powerfully, providentially pursuing him, sending trials and storms and discipline his way. And Jonah processes this and responds not with anger and accusations, not with questions, but with humble faith. He acknowledges the Lord's hand. It took him long enough, but he finally displays the right response, faith in God and in his sovereignty. And in verse 4, he even expresses hope that God will save him. Look again at verse 4. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. And really, this whole prayer is an expression of faith. I said it before, but Jonah is no longer running from God in rebellion. He's running to him in desperate need, in prayer, and in faith, knowing that he's sovereign. He's the true God. He hears and he's able to save. We also see Jonah responding with faith by using scripture. I mentioned this already, but did you notice much of the language of this prayer is lifted right out of the book of Psalms? I'm not going to take time to look at all of them, but Psalm 88, 42, 40, 31, they're echoes of all of those psalms. And it seems Jonah, as he is praying, is remembering specific parts of God's word, trusting and praying the very word of God. And you know, we see that in the life of Jesus as well. In temptation and in trial and in suffering, he goes to the scriptures. He so often goes to the Psalms. And that's an example for us when we go through trials, either due to our sin or in the mysterious providence of God. We need to respond with faith, trusting God's word, trusting that God is sovereign, that he is in control. Remembering passages like Romans 11, 36, from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. To respond with faith means you humble yourself before God. You bow before his sovereignty. You run to him in prayer. You go to his word. You even plead his word back to him. J.C. Ryle once said, trials are intended to make us think, to wean us from the world, to send us to our Bibles, and to drive us to our knees. And so, brothers and sisters, respond with faith, with prayer, with God's word. Well, third here, we also see that you must always remember. Always remember. Look again with me at verse 7. Jonah says, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah remembered the Lord. This is why he was able to respond with faith by God's grace. His life was fainting away, but he remembered the Lord. All caps there, the God of Israel, the self-existent, all-powerful creator, the merciful redeemer of Israel, who had saved his people out of Egypt, who had promised a Messiah and a Savior, the God who was his people's God. Jonah remembers his God. And in reality, it's often when we are fleeing from God, or in the midst of trial or danger or grief, that we so easily forget the Lord. All our attention is on our condition or our survival or our plight. But what actually helps is to take our eyes off of those things and put them on the Lord, to remember him, to look to him, to go to him. Remember the Lord. Remember who he is. Take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on the Lord. Now, you young kids, when you are afraid or when you get hurt or when you get in trouble, you often think of your parents, don't you? You remember them and you want them. And you want to find the fastest way to get to them because you know that there is help. Well, we ought to think of and remember our God like children do their parents. You must always remember God. Remember that God has delivered you, that he saved you. I'm not sure whether Jonah knew he would be fully delivered or not at this point. But listen to what he says in verse 5 and 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God. Jonah's remembering God delivering him from drowning. He was at the brink of death. And if God had not sent that fish, he would have died. And he's remembering that very recent deliverance. God delivering him from immediate death by drowning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who have been delivered from things far worse than drowning, how much more should you remember God's merciful deliverance of you? How much more should you let that drive you to gratitude? And we also see that here, that we must always remember to give thanks. Always remember the Lord and always remember to give thanks. Look how Jonah responded in verse 9. He said, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Jonah's saying he's going to offer sacrifice and pay his vows with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God and desiring to worship and give thanks with a sacrifice. He's admitting here that he's a sinner in need of a substitute, in need of one to take his guilt. He's really proclaiming that there is forgiveness with God by way of sacrifice. And of course, those Old Testament sacrifices that Jonah would have offered pointed ahead to the one sacrifice once for all of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Jonah also commits to pay his vow in thanksgiving. And we're not sure what Jonah vowed at this point. Maybe it was a vow recommitting himself to faithful obedience as a prophet. Maybe it was a vow to go to Nineveh as God had called him to do. Perhaps it was a vow about a particular offering at the temple. We're not sure. But it was a concrete, active, thankful commitment and response to God's grace and God's salvation. Brothers and sisters, when you are in need and in distress and in trial, pray because God hears, respond with thanks, and remember the Lord. Remember his deliverance. Remember to worship him with thanksgiving and renewed obedience, as hard and as unnatural as that may be in the moment. Well, the last truth that I want us to see in this prayer that Jonah impresses on us is an awesome one. And that is that your God saves. Let's consider that fourth and finally this morning. Your God saves. Really, the center of Jonah's prayer, or the hinge, is at verses 6 and 7. And I want to read those again. "I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. And yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple." Interesting that this is the end here in these verses, both literally and spiritually, of Jonah's descent. Remember, he's been going down, down, down. Even literally down into the sea. But finally, he calls out to the Lord, and what does he say? He is brought up. He's brought up from the pit. I want you to also notice the personal, relational aspect here in this prayer. There's a closeness and an ownership that's expressed. Jonah's no longer running away from God, distancing himself to God. He is saying in verse 1, this is the Lord, his God. Verse 6, O Lord, my God. He is calling out to his God, the God who has saved him, the God that he serves, the God he is in covenant relationship with, the God who has said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And it is this God, his God, who saves. Jonah gives all the credit to his God in this prayer. Verse 2, he answered me. You heard my voice. Verse 6, you brought up my life from the pit. Verse 7, my prayer came to you. And then finally, there's the climax or the crescendo in verse 9. Salvation belongs not to Jonah, not to the sailors, not to anything or anyone else. It belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It is Jonah's God, the true God who saves and who had saved him. I want you to look back at verse 8. Verse 8 kind of stands alone. I think it's meant to be a contrast to the verses before it and then after it. Listen again to verse 8. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. There's no hope, no salvation, no hearing and answering prayer for those who pay regard to vain idols. They forsake their hope of steadfast love, that special covenant love of God, his grace upon his people. And I think Jonah might be actually reflecting on and referring to himself of late. And the own idolatry in his heart. But I think he also has in mind his own people, Israel, who also had been forsaking the Lord. Who even though they were the people of God, they had been running to idols. And Jonah's rebuking himself and rebuking them and saying, idolatry is really forsaking the Lord and his salvation, his covenant love. And it's a warning to his listeners. It's a warning and a question for you and me. Are you forsaking the only true God? The sovereign God who hears and answers prayer. Are you forsaking the one to whom belongs salvation? Salvation belongs to the Lord and no one else. What a profound and glorious statement of faith that Jonah makes here at the end of verse 9. It's a confession that could really summarize the heart of all of Scripture and the heart of the gospel itself. And at this point, he has been saved from drowning. But we haven't gotten to verse 10 yet. He doesn't know if he'll ever see the light of day again. We don't know if Jonah knew if he would actually get out of the fish alive. And yet, what is he saying here? He knows that he has been saved by the gracious covenant love of the Lord. He has learned this truth, a truth that he likely already knew, but he has learned it in a new and fresh and experiential way. He has experienced it powerfully himself. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And friends, can you say that? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you know in your hearts as well as in your heads that salvation belongs to the Lord? That your God saves? Is this your confession of hope and praise? Is this your experience? Jonah could pray this and confess this because he knew it to be true. And he knew it in an even greater, more personal, new, and deep way. If you're here this morning and you can't say this, that salvation belongs to the Lord, or you don't understand it, or you don't believe it, you haven't truly been saved by the Lord, put your faith in Him. Don't delay. The Lord is calling to you through this passage this morning. There is salvation nowhere else. Maybe you're one of those described in verse 8. Maybe you've been paying regard to vain idols, whatever they may be, false gods, putting your hope and your trust in them, worshiping them, taking false hope from something or someone other than the true God. In doing so, you are forsaking your hope of salvation, the steadfast love of God. Don't do that. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Call out to Him. Trust in Him alone and be saved. No one else, nothing else can save you from Sheol, from the pit of death. Nothing can pull you out of the waters, out of the pit, whether it's despair or depression or sin or death. No one but the Lord. Salvation belongs to Him. And salvation belongs to the Lord ultimately because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember our call to worship this morning from Revelation 7. It said, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who is that Lamb? Well, it is the sacrificial Lamb. The Lamb who was slain. The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ who was crucified in the place of sinners, bearing our sins. Salvation belongs to the Lord because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. He hears and He saves. This God saves. Trust Him and praise Him and know this salvation that Jonah did. Well, we've been challenged by the story of Jonah and his desperate prayer this morning. We've been called ourselves to pray to the Lord because He is the true God and He hears and He answers. He's sovereign. Only He can save. Salvation belongs to Him and Him alone. And it is through Jesus Christ that we have that salvation, that we are saved, that we partake of salvation that only belongs to Him. And as we close this morning, I want you to turn your thoughts to Jesus. I want you to think about Him. Remember, we've been saying Jonah is a type of Jesus Christ, a picture. He foreshadows the person and work of Jesus. He points ahead to Him in a unique way. Like Jonah, Jesus cried out to God in great distress, but much greater distress. His agony and His distress, His trials were far, far worse than Jonah's ever were. And he was driven from the Lord, not because of his sin, but because of the infinite number of sins of his people that he was bearing as the sin bearer. Your sin and mine. It was not because of his sin and rebellion. Like Jonah, he went down to the land whose bars closed upon him. He descended into the pit, into Sheol, death itself. He cried out to God like Jonah, but unlike Jonah, there was no answer for Jesus because God had turned His back on him. God was pouring out justice due for you and me on Jesus Christ. He was pouring out His waves of wrath on Him. Jesus was being swallowed up by the billows of God's judgment. But even then, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that salvation belongs to the Lord? Because He Himself achieved it for His people on the cross, in the grave, on the resurrection morning, rising again like Jonah 3 days after 3 days of being swallowed up in death and in the earth. Jesus suffered death. He tasted it to deliver you from it, to save you, so that you could taste the sweet salvation of God and cry with Jonah as one saved, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord." Who will you send your distress calls to? Who will you cry out to when you hit the iceberg? When your sin catches up to you? When you're overwhelmed by circumstances? When you face the reality of judgment before the living God and death itself? Friends, send those cries to the one who hears. Call out to the one who always hears, who answers and who can and does and has saved. Call on the Lord. Call on Jesus who died to give you life. Friends, this God whom Jonah cried out to, the Lord is the sovereign, true God. He has sent his Son to die and rise again for sinners, and he is the one who hears and saves. And so look to him, pray to him, trust in him, and be saved through Jesus Christ, and be able to say with joy and hope, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you that you, for the sake of Jesus, hear and answer us through the perfect work and shed blood of Jesus. You answer us and you save us, though we deserve death and judgment. You give us salvation and life. And Lord, we are so aware that we do not save ourselves. There is nothing we can do. Salvation belongs to you alone. Salvation comes from you alone by your grace and your awesome work for us. So, Lord, teach us to call out to you. Teach us to run to you in faith. Teach us to always remember who you are and what you've done and what you will do. We thank you that Christ took our sin and our punishment so that we might call out to you and you will answer and save. Help us to put our faith in him. We pray with thanksgiving in his name. Amen.